Messiah's Branch Broadcast, a one-hour prophecy program on the American Voice Radio Network, featuring Pastor Dan of Messiah's Branch Ministry. And now, here's Pastor Dan.
Greetings, saints, and welcome to the Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour. We are broadcasting live from the Flint Hills of Kansas, and we're on the American Voice Radio Network. Today's date is October 23rd, 2014. Saints, the world is in turmoil, and most just don't realize that we are in that time of the end. And that's the time before Messiah's glorious return. It's time to get out of sin, the world, and look to the holy city. Look to the one who suffered and died for you. Please make this choice tonight. If you need help after this program, call me. I'll pray for you or with you. If you get the machine, please leave your name, your number, your prayer request, and or message. The phone number, of course, is 620-878-4682, 620-878-4682. And in emergency, my cell phone number is also 316-619-4886. And you can email me with your phone number and give me a short note, and I'll call you back if that's the way you choose to do it. Anyway, you can always find updates with the breaking news, our ministry, radio program archives, and our mailing address at our blog, which is simply prophecyhour.com. At prophecyhour.com, it's like a hub for all of everything in our ministry, whether it's Wichita Mission Church, name and address, links to the Mission Watch program, archives, so on and so forth. Our program can be found at prophecyhour.com. That's prophecyhour.com. And at branch.podomatic.com. Both are very smartphone friendly because that's the way that people are listening to radio nowadays. And in fact, at branch.podomatic.com, they have an Apple app and an Android app for Google, on Google Play. So listen up. I challenge you to share that with two or three other people. But really, if you go to prophecyhour.com, over in the right-hand column, there's a little square that says End Time Radio Archives, and that'll take you to branch.podomatic.com. Check it out, folks. Share with others. And now prayer, and we'll get on with tonight's program. Dear Heavenly Father, in Yeshua HaMashiach's name, I pray. Father, I pray that radio tonight goes according to your will and not my will. And please, Father, give everyone out there ears in which to hear the truth tonight. So please, Father, bless this program tonight. Amen and amen. Well, tonight's guest, he, since his miraculous salvation in Yeshua over 28 years ago, Reverend William Bill Snevelin has faithfully pressed into the calling and anointing of Yahweh to teach biblical revelation into the body of Messiah and lead the lost to salvation. A prayer warrior, biblical scholar, and author, he founded with One Accord Ministries in 1992. Since then, the anointing of the Ruach HaKadosh, the Holy Spirit, has allowed him to minister to thousands across the globe through preaching, books, videos, countless booklets, articles, and tracts. And he has did many, many seminars because that's the first place I saw him, was at a prophecy club seminar. Anyway, recognized as a biblical authority on alternate religions and the occult, previous to his salvation, Bill spent 16 years as a teacher of witchcraft, spiritualism, and ceremonial magic. To Yeshua's glory, the Ruach HaKadosh has continually used Bill's experience as a druidic high priest, an ordained spiritist, minister, and former Satanist to teach Christians the intricacies of spiritual warfare and administer those lost in cults. He's also spent 9 years as an active member of the Freemason fraternity, both as York and Scottish Rite, 5 years as a devout member of the LDS Mormon Church, where he held numerous offices, including elders, quorum president. Bill held temple recommends in the LDS Church for 4 years. Lucifer's Dethrone, which is Bill's autobiography. It's a really gripping tale and account of his descent into the darker side of, well, magic and other things. So let's get him on here now, because if I told you everything about Bill, that would take up half the program. So he's here now to unmask Kel Knight. Welcome now, Bill Steblin. Are you there with me, Bill?
I hope so. Yes, sir.
Wow. You know what? I could have kept reading your credentials for another, 20 minutes or so. You did it all, brother.
Well, I never was a Jehovah's Witness, but I somehow missed out.
And I was also a Jehovah's Witness, Mercy, your life has really went on a path, but that was all, allowed by the Father so that you could end up being a great witness.
I sure pray that's the case. It's been quite a ride.
It's been quite a ride. Yeah, I know. I've heard your story. Like I say, the first time I heard your story was at a prophecy club meeting back in the 90s, I believe.
And, oh, yeah.
I was greatly impressed by it then, and I'm still impressed by it.
Hallelujah.
Where's your site at? Let's get the people up with that first.
Sure. Our website is withoneaccord.org. withoneaccord.org. And we're trying to get a little more up to the date in terms of, being able to see, watch short videos on it and hear audio broadcasts and stuff like that, but we're still working on that. We have tons of free information, though, lots of articles and prayers and newsletters, and that people can download as PDF files. And we also, of course, have books and DVDs for sale. So we're trying to really reach out to people, as you said, and win the lost.
Well, amen. And, folks, it's such a better thing to hear it not from somebody that studied it, which is a good thing, but from somebody that's been in it is a whole different story. Well, Bill, tonight, your DVD caught my, it was getting this time of year, and I wondered who I was going to have talk with me. I always try to have somebody talk with me about Halloween, but I noticed that you have, you call it Hell Night, and I guess you have a DVD about it also?
Yeah, it's called Halloween Unmasking Hell Night. Basically, it talks about the history of Halloween and also my personal history with Halloween, which is quite significant. And then it talks about, why believers should not follow the ways of the heathen, but instead keep the feast of Yahuwah. And, that's more or less the DVD in a tiny nutshell. But obviously, it's like, a two-hour teaching, so we get into great depth on these things.
Yeah, amen. We won't near be able to get into that tonight. We'll probably have about another probably 12 minutes on this side, and then we'll have about 20 minutes on the other side. But Halloween, you call it Hell Night. Sounds like a good name for it. Why do you call it Hell Night?
Well, you've got to realize that for thousands of years, Halloween has been a pagan festival. In ancient, it basically for at least Europeans, it originated in the British Isles, and it was called Samhain, and it was named after Saman, who's the Lord of the Dead. And basically, the ancient idea was it was a time when the veil between the world of the dead and the world of the living would become very thin, and through the use of animal and human sacrifice and conjuring and things like that, these ancient pagan priests could cause the shades of the dead to walk among the living. And, that was kind of the beginning of it. And it was rooted in the agricultural idea that the sun, to people in the northern hemisphere, appeared to be going away. Every day the days were getting shorter. And they believed the sun was their deity, And so what would happen is, they believed that it was necessary to kindle these fires and offer these sacrifices and so on to strengthen the sun so that it could be reborn on Yule, which is, of course, December 23rd. It's the winter solstice, which is the next major witch holiday, and then come back. And, of course, we know astronomically that, Yule is the sort of shortest day of the year up here in the northern hemisphere, and then the days start getting longer until they reach this equinox in March. And then the longest day of the year, which, of course, is June. So you know, that idea is in there as well. And it was basically a very sinister time. And over the centuries, Satanists started to get onto this and say, oh, well, this is the devil's birthday. Halloween is the devil's birthday. And then, of course, you know, when the Roman Church came along, which is a millennium after all this, they were very syncretistic. I mean, they do this to this very day. I mean, they believe in, when they move into a country, of trying to take the pagan rites, and this is not really according to the Bible, this is just their thing.
Right.
And they take the rites of the pagans and sort of slap a coat of paint on them and say, oh, now this is Christian. Like, for example, many people don't realize that the celebrated Notre Dame Cathedral in Paris is built on the site of the Temple of Cernunnos, who's the horn god of ancient witchcraft.
Really?
And to this day, if you were to look at the high altar of Notre Dame Cathedral and remove the frontispiece, you know, the big brocade thing that covers the front of the altar in a lot of these high church-type churches, you would see a carving of Cernunnos. So right in the middle of one of the most celebrated churches of Catholicism, there's an altar to a pagan horn god. And that's very typical of the Catholic approach to things. So in the British Isles, they said, well, here's this holiday to the dead, you know, Samhain, let's call it All Saints Day. And, of course, if any of your listeners are either former Catholics or Catholics, they know that November 1st is All Saints Day. And so the evening before it came to be known as All Hallows Eve, the eve of all the hallowed souls. And then, of course, the next day, November 2nd, was the Feast of All Souls Day, which is the feast for all the poor souls that are trapped in purgatory that we have to pray out with all of that stuff. So, you know, there's gradually it's kind of become more and more, quote-unquote, Christianized. But see, the Bible, the Torah, you know, tells us we can't blend unclean things with clean things and expect somehow the unclean things to get holy. You know, like if we know, like if a priest who is a set apart person were to touch an unclean thing, he would have to go and be purified with the ritual waters of the red heifer or whatever, you know.
Right.
And it is, doesn't work the other way. It doesn't work that, okay, I can go into this evil place like a satanic temple and, you know, schlep some holy water around and somehow think that's going to make it good and wonderful. It isn't. It doesn't work like that. You know, but the problem is then, of course, as it went along through the centuries since that time, when America was founded, and this information might surprise some of your listeners, when America was founded, basically Halloween was illegal in this country, in the colonies, that is, you know, because almost all the colonies were founded by Bible-believing people, you know, Roger Williams, the Puritans, the Pilgrims, and so on. And so they knew Halloween was pagan, and they kept it out. And there was really no Halloween until the waves of some of my ancestors, the Irish, started showing up on our shores, you know, in the middle to the late part of the 19th century. And they brought, you know, Samhain, Halloween with them.
Right,
and
right.
Gradually it kind of, you know how the old thing about leaven, I mean, once a little bit gets in, it percolates through the whole lump of dough. And so in the 50s, we had, you know, the introduction of commercial costumes for children, and it became very commercialized.
Yeah.
And, of course, today, in the last 10, 15 years, the merchants in America have tried to make it almost as big as Christmas.
Right.
And it's evil. Yeah,
of course it is. Well, they get Halloween, and then they've just about. I like Thanksgiving, but they just about did away with Thanksgiving because now they're bringing in the first day of Christmas shopping right on top of Thanksgiving, and so you know that
Black
was a
Friday.
Very family oriented day, but they're doing Black Friday now on Thursday at 6 o'clock is now when they're starting it this year. And so they're kind of just skipping over that tradition. Probably in a couple of years there won't be anything left of Thanksgiving. But yeah, it's all about money, but they don't, but it's bigger and deeper than money. I mean, aren't these things still evil? I mean, what's the evil behind it now? You know what I mean? Are the witches still practicing? What's going on?
Well, I can personally testify to you that, yes, there are. I used to be a witch. And, you know,
that was a dumb question, right?
Well, no, I mean, I don't think it just dried up and blew away in the last 30 years, you know. So, but yeah, there are still witches, there are still Satanists. And in the back of the book that you mentioned of ours, Lucifer Dethroned, we actually have the high satanic calendar. I mean, just like, you know, in the Bible there is the Feast of Yahuwah, you know, like Passover and, you know, Tabernacles and so on. Well, there's this, you know, the devil loves to copy everything that the Almighty does. And so, you know, he has his calendar, too. And Halloween is the darkest day of that calendar, believe me. So if you let your child participate in these things and go out on that night, and if we have time, I can tell you the story of what happened to me one Halloween when I was a small child. But you're opening that child up to all sorts of demonic influences.
Yeah,
so,
absolutely.
I don't know if you want to talk about that briefly.
Yeah, I do, but I want to ask you a small question first.
Sure.
You can talk about whatever you want to for the whole program, but I consider my guests that the program belongs to them. But I did have a question. You know, once we open this door for these children, doesn't costumes and all that synthesize them and, you know, make them more acceptable to these evil forces? You know what I'm saying?
Well, yes, and especially because a lot of the costumes nowadays are very evil. I mean, you know, they have, like, you know, vampire costumes and Freddy Krueger costumes and Jason from whatever, you know, Friday the 13th.
I think it's Halloween, yeah.
Yeah, and that's just horrible. You know, I mean, because, and I think you're right, I think just wearing these things, because if you get back to the idea of a mask, I mean, a mask and a costume goes back to ancient pagan Greece. They would have dramas in which people would play roles of gods and goddesses, and they would wear what they called a persona, which is the Greek word for a mask, and that's where we get our word personality from. And so it was a way of them taking on the identity of the deity, you know, like Zeus or Athena or whatever. And anyway, it's like a major doorway for a child to especially take on the persona of something evil. And, yeah, I would never allow a child of mine to do that.
Yeah, I didn't offer my children all around. We just ignore the holiday, basically, you know. I taught them about it, but, you know, we just go on about it. Tell us your story, though. I'm curious about your Halloween story.
Well, when I was a young kid, I was probably 10 or 12 years old, somewhere in there, and I went out trick-or-treating with my friend every year, and, you know, we'd go door-to-door. And back then, this was in the late 50s or early 60s, and, you know, it was a lot more innocent time, you know, as I'm sure you understand. We never heard anything bad about Halloween. And so I'm going down the street, minding my own business, and I look up in the sky. It was a beautiful October night, and I'd see just nothing but stars because we lived kind of in a small rural community, not much light. But this time I looked up, and I saw, instead of the stars, I saw like the vault of the heavens covered in these leathery things like bats, just from one horizon to the other, as far as I could see. There were these leathery bats, and the only way I can explain it is kind of like if you ever walked in a cave that was full of bats that were sleeping, you know? It was kind of like that. And as I looked, I just froze because it was so frightening. These things, their eyes started to open, and they had these ruby red eyes, and those eyes, there were hundreds of them, just burned into my soul, and I felt this unclean thrill, which I couldn't even put a name to at that time. I mean, I was a child. But, you know, in spite of that, that hit me. And then my friend said, hey, what are you doing? You know, he had kept walking, and I was standing there gaping at the sky. I looked at my friend, I looked back at the sky, and everything was normal again. So I kind of shuddered and went on my way. But looking back on that from the standpoint of someone who's now studied the scriptures for years, I can see where that was the beginning of a trajectory for me. Because after that, I went from being a good little altar boy, because I was raised Catholic, and I started getting interested in like UFOs and parapsychology and haunted houses. And by the time I was in college, you know, I had a priest slash theologian professor tell me that, you know, our Lord was into the occult and he had gone to Egypt and the Middle East and, you know, Tibet and whatnot right. to study, you know, the occult. And I was supposed to do that. So that's how I ended up becoming a witch. But that all started in one night, which supposedly was innocent, and it ended up basically changing, I think, the whole course of my life.
Okay. Having said that, so that was shown to you by something, or it makes me just wonder what it was that, you know, chose you, so to speak. Sounds like that you were chosen. You know what I'm trying to say?
Yes, I do, and I've often pondered that, if that was something where, you know, the devil was, because see, I do believe there are things, and unfortunately, especially Irish families are prone to this, where people have kind of spiritual faculties, you know, like the second sight
or
whatever it might be, you know, and of course, that's not necessarily the child's fault any more than being, you know, born with like,
right,
you know.
Born into it, yeah.
Born into it, you know. And I certainly wasn't doing a thing to cultivate it. I didn't even know such things existed. I'd never seen a horror movie. I'd never been allowed to watch anything or read anything about magic or the occult. And such things weren't even around in those days, you know.
Right.
Things have changed a lot. And so I really think that because I stepped out onto unhallowed ground, so to speak, and was walking on the devil's night, it's like he was able to touch my mind and activate, for lack of a better word, my third eye, you know, my spiritual faculties, but in a bad way.
Let me break in here because we're going to have to go to a break in about 20 seconds. Give your website one more time, and then we'll go to a break and come back in 3 minutes and let you fascinate me some more.
Our website is withoneaccord.org.
Folks, that's withoneaccord.org. And wherever you're listening, if you're listening to this on my website, there's a link there. And if you're listening to archives, which means an hour from now or so, then there will be a link. We'll be back in 3 minutes.
Pastor Dan will be right back.
Pandemics will be a part of our future. The question is, how do we protect ourselves? Are you willing to put your trust in untested vaccine, hoping it kills mutating viruses? Remember, in 1976, health officials tried to inoculate Americans with swine flu, and there was a 300% death rate for those inoculated, and millions were paid out in damages. God gave you a sophisticated immune system, and in times of need, you can make it 10 times stronger. So there's no need to panic. Just get prepared. Call Apothecary Herbs to order your upgraded pandemic kit. You will have 8 professional strength formulas offering broad spectrum immune boosting protection. Take a stand, have a plan, have peace, and request your pandemic kit today. Call Apothecary Herbs toll free 866-229-3663 or online thepowerherbs.com. That's 866-229-3663 or thepowerherbs.com.
Studies have shown that the farm soil we get our vegetables from is dead, meaning it is depleted of minerals. Sulfur is a mineral. Sulfur has been depleted from the soil, which means most people have been depleted of sulfur. Sulfur has been found to transport oxygen throughout the body. You need oxygen. You need organic sulfur. American Voice Radio Network has organic sulfur. Go to AmericanVoiceRadio.com and then to the Superstore to order your organic sulfur. It's your choice. Do you want to feel better or not? Don't forget to tune in to the Sulfur Hour Plus One on AmericanVoiceRadio.com Thursdays, 6 p.m. Pacific.
cannot afford to eat or keep a roof over their head. Too many can do neither. Messiah's Branch has a mission church in Wichita, Kansas that helps the victims of this banker's economy, the American people. Your neighbors. The mission is the last hope for so many Americans. We need your help to lift up the poorest of the poor. These are men, women, and children who once had homes, now in the street. They all need what you need. First aid, beds, food, clothing, and so on. You can send a monetary gift or a box of necessities to 230 West 4th Street, Florence, Kansas, 66851. Or donate online by going to WichitaHomeless.com. Or simply call 316-619-4886. 316-619-4886.
This is Pastor Dan Catlin, and you're listening to Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour on the American Voice Radio Network. Folks, please remember to pray tonight about a, about a donation for our work with the homeless and poor from our mission church in Wichita, Kansas. Well, of course, the homeless are poor, but we're also talking about people that are just barely putting roofs over their heads. They come looking for food, clothing, things for their family. Again, we give out a lot of children's clothing. Lots and lots of things. Most of all, we do give out miracle prayers and Bibles. People come to us seeking all kinds of help. But why do so many people come to us for help? Well, love, that's the first answer. And then they're treated as family. Second, beyond that, we don't really have any set guidelines like programs. The only radio programs I have are radio programs. People walk in the door and ask for something. That's the rule. And then if we have the way to fill it, we give it to them. If not, we pray it in. This is why even the agencies tell all their employees about the Potter's Little Mission Church. You see, when guidelines stop them from helping, they send people to us. People who have millions of dollars in their budget send people to a place that has no budget. We are the last hope for so many, and we're all responsible to care one for another, as we are our brother's keepers. All donations, no matter what size, does help. And the Father notices all donations that come from where? Your heart. You can donate online or by mailing a check or money order, and you can find all this information at prophecyhour.com. Or if you need to, if you're one of those people that are listed on satellite and you don't do internet, you can call me at 602-878-4682 and leave a message if you get the machine. Now we're back with Bill Snevelin, and we're talking about Hell Night, Halloween Unmasked. Okay, we're back, Bill. Are you still with me?
Sure am. Yes. Sure. Listen, we're getting a lot of reports from people that they're not being able to get any sound.
They're not being able to
talk. Okay, talk to your engineer guy.
If they're listening from my site, it may be overcrowded. If they go to AmericanVoiceRadio.com, AmericanVoiceRadio.com, they have
AmericanVoiceRadio.com. His site might be overloaded.
Right, and they have a lot of different players on there. And I'll check. But it may be because we're being overwhelmed with people. But yeah, they've got about 10 different players over there from 56K streaming on up. And so, amen. And if you can tell the folks too, as soon as we get done with this, Bill, we will podcast this, and it by 30 minutes after we're done, it will be out on a podcast, and you'll be able to find it on the website.
Could you send us a link for that so we can post it?
Yeah, I'll send a direct link right to the radio program. And that podcast, which is Podomatic.com, that podcast place is excellent sound and has pictures and everything. And we're going to use the picture, in fact, from your DVD, if you don't mind, for the advertising.
Fine.
Yeah, we're going to use that picture for the advertising picture because my son usually makes up diagrams, you know, and pictures for the different programs. But I looked at that one and I said, man, he ain't going to have to do anything to that. You know, that's just,
Podomatic.com.
Yeah, Podomatic,
that's where
they can just find
archived.
It from prophecyhour.com is the best way to find it.
All right.
But I'll send you a direct link so you can send it out. Okay, anyway, we were just at the end of your little thing there where you told us about your Halloween story.
I would like to make a point, though.
Okay, go ahead.
A positive note about that is there are many children that are both in my generation, obviously now grown-ups, but also children who are yet being born to this day, that are very spiritually sensitive for whatever reason. I mean, I was kind of making a joke about being part Irish, but it doesn't really have anything to do with that. It just has to do with a gift that children might get from the Holy Spirit before they're even saved. And the problem is the devil loves to get in there and corrupt those things. And if he can get in there with something like Halloween or horror movies or video games or whatever it might be and defile that child's faculties, just like, for example, pornography defiles the heavenly given instinct to reproduce, you know, or other examples are evident, you know. So I'm not saying there's anything wrong with, like, having the gifts of the Holy Spirit or to be able to, you know, like, pray and converse with the Almighty. That's good. But what I'm saying is some of these exceptionally sensitive children that the Holy Spirit has selected to be mighty men and women of Yahuwah may very well be targeted by the devil in such a way that they would be turned aside, kind of like I was, into another whole direction for really about to half my life. So, you know, be aware that your children are precious gifts from the Almighty, and you're responsible for them, and you need to try as much as you can in this rather unrighteous culture to shield them from things like this. And Halloween is something we can control. You know, we can, as you say, you do, just ignore the date, stay at home with your children and pray and have fun with them. You know, don't even let it be a part of your life.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, growing up, I didn't know any better, you know, and Halloween was always one of my favorite holidays. And, you know, I like spook houses and stuff until, you know, I got older and I learned the truth of it. Actually, the first truth that I got was a police detective I talked to handed me a book on a training book that they use on Satanism, you know.
Oh, yeah.
I was shocked. I was just deadly shocked. And all about Halloween and children disappearing, you know, right before the holiday and then never being found. And it was a training manual for Wichita Police Department for their, you know, Satanism thing. And I was just shocked. I thought, well, really? I thought that was just, you know, movie stuff. And so then I started a search, and I found more of the truth. But, yeah, so, yes, we can shield them from them. I just simply say no. I tell my children have went through, at times they've homeschooled, but at times because of circumstances they have went to public school. When they did, I have the right, parents have the right to tell the school that you do not, with your religious freedom, to tell them that they cannot teach them anything Halloween, to give them alternate something to do, and that's what they do. You know what I mean? So my children don't go to pumpkin patches, and they don't paint Halloween pumpkins, which now they try to be a little sneaky. They say, well, it's harvest pumpkins, you know.
Oh, really? Sure.
Yeah, and I like I told the principal, I said, here a while back, because I went through it with my grandchildren, and I held up, I said, really, a pumpkin, you're really going to honestly look me in the eye, and you're going to tell me that pumpkin represents a harvest pumpkin and not a jack-o'-lantern? And he just shook his head and looked at the floor. He knew he was lying. You know, he knew he was lying. But these things, and even the movies, you know what I mean? You know, it's a lead-in to those things, don't you believe?
Oh, yes. Absolutely. I mean, you know, there's so many films now and even television shows that are on at the early hour, you know, at like, you know, in central time, it's like 7 p.m. that glorify the occult and vampires and, you know, all kinds of weird stuff like that. That again, the closest thing I ever had to that was when I was a teenager, the show Bewitched came out. That was huge, and it really did intrigue a lot of people, including me, about the occult, because it featured an attractive witch that didn't look like the green, icky Wizard of Oz witch, you know, the Wicked Witch of the West or whatever. So, you know, you've got to really be on your toes, because things are a lot more wicked today than they were when I was a little kid.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, folks, they are still making sacrifices, you know.
Yes.
That's a fact. I mean, you know, they kidnap children, and they're never seen again. You know, in some instances, some of these covens, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, but they will have children. The women themselves that are in the covens will give birth to a child. It will have no, that child will be risen up for the sole purpose of sacrifice. There will never be a birth certificate or anything on that child, and just one day they'll use it for a sacrifice.
Very sad, but true, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Well, you know, I was going to bring this up. I don't know how much you know on the subject, but you know, one of the costumes this year that's supposed to be really popular selling is Ebola costumes. What do you think about Ebola anyway, just for the record?
Well, I think the costume idea is appalling, but beyond that, I mean, I do think it's a serious issue in our country. I think we're not, you know, dealing with it well. But on the other hand, I think they're using it as a way to gin up a panic to make more money for the drug companies. You know, I'm a naturopathic doctor, and I have four or five DVDs out about the way that the modern medical system is actually killing people to make money. And part of that is these huge pharmaceutical companies, which make billions and dare I say, even trillions of dollars off the suffering of innocent people. You know, and they're ready and waiting in the wings, trying to crank out. I mean, I've heard Johnson & Johnson, for example, is supposed to have a trial Ebola vaccine in just 2 months. Now, isn't it interesting? I mean, normally it takes years to make a vaccine, but they just happen to have one that's going to be ready in 2 months, just in time for the winter flu panic. And I never advise anybody to get flu shots. I really don't. I'm not a medical doctor, but, you know, I know what's in them. For one thing, they're not kosher. I mean, but beyond that, you're bypassing the body's natural immune system and injecting foreign protein, viruses, you know, timerosal, which is a form of mercury that's a deadly toxin, and whether it's a child and especially an infant, like they give these horrible things like, you know, DTP shots, you know, whatnot, the horrible stuff to little babies. And then they wonder why these babies grow up with nervous problems, with ADHD, with autism, with, you know, with dyslexia, things of that nature. So we really, I mean, all I can say is if I had a child growing up in this day and age, just like what you mentioned before about Halloween, there are medical exemptions for religious reasons. If you have, like, you know, an Orthodox Jew, for example, or an Amish, I don't think the Amish would send their kids to a public school, but, you know, things like that, people are allowed to declare that for a religious reason, I do not wish to have myself or my child vaccinated. And so far, at least, in all 50 states, that's allowed.
Yes, yeah, it absolutely is. I know people that use the exemption all the time, and you don't have to be, you can just say that as your Christian belief, and they'll do it. They don't argue. Anyway, I haven't seen anybody that's had to really argue it yet, you know what I'm saying?
But of course, kind of live like me. You live in the heartland. And here it's a little, there's still a little bit more normalcy. I mean, I think as you go out to the coast, things get a little stranger. But, I think you're right.
To say the least.
Well, you know what they say? It's like California. It's like somebody took America, picked up the East Coast and shook it, and all the loose nuts ended up in California.
I believe that. I honestly do.
I'm sorry. I don't mean if you got listeners in California.
Not to offend guys, but yeah, I got listeners in California. Actually, Bill, you know, we have listeners because I have on the podcast site that this will go through for archives. I have a place that tells me where we're being listened to. And we have a lot of people all over the United States, but we have a lot of people overseas that listen to us. Even in Russia, you know, China is the one that fascinates me. I can't figure why people in China are listening, but they do listen. And so we're actually worldwide radio, so to speak.
Oh, yeah. Well, the word of Yahweh will go forth, you know, to the ends of the earth.
Yeah. Amen. Well, okay, let's go. We've got some time left. We've got about 10 minutes left. What about some of the symbols and things that they use, you know, like the black cats and all that stuff? You know, do they have any special meanings?
Well, you know, almost all the accoutrements that surround Halloween are occult-based. And, you know, like the jack-o'-lantern is a symbol of Saman, the Lord of the Dead. And the whole idea of trick-or-treat in ancient times was that on this night, because as I said at the start of the program, they had this idea that if they kindled bonfires and offered sacrifices, that it would bring back, you know, the dying sun, the sun god, small g, of course, and, you know, not the S-O-N, the S-U-N. And what happened is that they had to get these sacrifices from somewhere, so they go and these priests would go and knock on the door of the townspeople, and they would say, you need to give us either your firstborn child or a cow or a goat or something like that, or we will smite this house with a plague, or we'll burn it to the ground, or whatever it might be, because they were standing outside with all these torches, you know, kind of like when you see pictures of the Ku Klux Klan or something, you know. Well, anyhow, if the family agreed and turned over their child or whatever the request was, then they would put, it was not a pumpkin because there were no pumpkins in ancient Britain, they would put like a large turnip or some other root crop with a candle in it at the door to ward off evil. And let me just say something about that. If you look at that, it's like a twisted version of Passover. In the story of Passover, of course, the angel of death is coming through the Egyptian land, you know, and if they put the blood on the door, then the destroying angel would not hit that house. Well, this is like a twist on that. And that's what the devil loves to do. He loves to take a scriptural truth and just tweak it 180 degrees and insert it back into the human consciousness. And so we see today where the idea of trick-or-treat comes from that, because the kids go door-to-door and they say, trick-or-tweet, you know. And I don't know if this still goes on today, but when I was a kid, if you didn't give you candy, then the kids would have the right to go and soap your windows or throw TP over your bushes or whatever the case might be. And that's just a very benign, apparently, watered-down version of what was done in ancient Britain. So, you know, we're not to learn the ways of the heathen. That's what Scripture tells us. So, and another example would be, you know, like the idea of witches riding broomsticks. You see, that relates to two separate things. One thing is that in ancient times, real witches would go out and gather on Halloween night, and they would be sky-clad, which means they would be naked, and it was often cold. And so they would rub themselves down with this ointment to keep themselves warm. And, of course, back then, almost everybody had, you know, fleas or bites or whatever because of the way things were then. And this stuff would get into their system, and there would be things like belladonna and aconite. These are herbs that are mildly hallucinogenic. And these people would be laying on the ground having these, like, almost like acid trips. I mean, I hate to say it, but it was kind of like that. And they would think they were flying to the great Sabbath, the witch's Sabbath. You know, and that's part of where it came from. And the other part is that there was a belief in, again, this is mostly in Britain and Ireland, that on a certain time of year, about this time, that the witches would go out with their broomsticks, because the broomstick was like their magic wand, you know.
Right.
And they would go out and they would straddle a broomstick and they would jump around these fields of grain that were, of course, had just been harvested. And the idea was, by how high they would jump, that's how high the grain would grow the next spring. It was like what they call sympathetic magic. And what some scholars believe is that lay people, you know, non-witches, would be following them around because they wanted to get a glimpse of the naked witches, you know. And they'd see these women jumping around the field on broomsticks, and they got the idea, oh, they're like, you know, birds trying to take off, you know, and fly.
Right.
And so between you kind of conflate those two true things, and you come up with this image of the witch flying around on a broomstick. So, you know, that's another example. And, of course, you mentioned the black cat. And black cats really get a bad rap, you know. I mean, there's absolutely nothing wrong with black cats. You know, they're not like, I mean, I know there are some ministers that teach if you have a black cat, it's going to give you demons. And that's absolute nonsense. You know, they're a creature of the Almighty. And they're beautiful animals, but unfortunately, down through the centuries, in ancient Egypt, they were worshipped as a goddess known as Bast. You know, that was the name of the cat goddess.
Right.
And then, and in modern, relatively modern times, in the last 1,000 years or so, they got associated with witches because they're nocturnal animals. You know, they go out at night.
Right.
So, you know, that's kind of where that comes from. And, I mean, of course, some of the other things you see now, like vampires, werewolves, zombies, all these things are occult things that are evil.
Right now, there's such an uptick in vampire movies and stuff, you know, are they trying to synthesize them to something? Are vampires based in anything?
Yes, they certainly are. I wrote a whole book about it.
Oh,
I have a book out about it called Romancing Death. And it's about the idea of popular culture vampires, like, you know, the Vampire Diaries or Twilight or whatever. And it's based on reality. I mean, I used to belong to a group that practiced vampirism in the late 70s. And nowadays, there are, you know, you can watch stuff on the History Channel about these various vampire churches that actually are 501c3, you know, tax-exempt groups, just like your Lutheran church or your Methodist church or whatever. And they drink each other's blood, you know, and they think this is a religious act. And, of course, what does the Bible say about that? The Bible says do not drink blood, you know. I mean, in Acts 15 in the New Testament, you know, the Brit Hadashah, it says, you know, James says part of what they told the new Gentiles that were coming into the congregation, don't drink blood, you know.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, and yet here we're getting, and, of course, here's the problem. There are young girls that, like, watch these Twilight movies and read the books or these other things, and vampires are now sexy and moody and brooding and romantic, you know. And they want to have – they have fantasies about a vampire or some young, sexy, who's actually 500 years old, but he still looks young and sexy, vampire biting them in the neck. And so if somebody comes along, some pervert who is a real vampire wannabe – and he says, hey, can I bite you in the neck? They'll let him do it. They'll be more subtle than that, of course, but you get my point.
Right.
And then
right.
There's a transfer, see, of evil energy, of demonic power, because when you, just like when you, if you have sex with someone outside of marriage, that's an open doorway to demonic infestation. And in the same way, if you exchange bodily fluids, most especially blood, which is expressly mentioned in the Bible as being forbidden, that's a gateway for demonic spirits to get into that young girl's body and wreak all sorts of havoc. And we've had to do many deliverances on, you know, young people who maybe even former young people are now adults, but they've gotten all tangled up in things because they played around with this vampire thing or with a Ouija board or something else when they were younger. And it's a real tragedy because this stuff is real.
Yeah, absolutely. Actually, we're basically at the end of the program. I'm going to say one thing and then I'll let you say goodbye. But yeah, absolutely. You know, that's how a man and woman become as one, you know, is because they make love. You know what I'm saying? And so that's a transfer of spirits. But if you sleep around, you're going to pick up parts of the spirits of all these different people that you have slept with. And so you need to, if you've been doing that, folks, you know, if you're into fornication, you're into multiple sex partners, you need to repent and you need to get in touch with a minister that can help get rid of that stuff for you. Well, Bill,
tell,
they can find all the stuff at your website. Tell them again where your website's at, and we'll do this again, but we're going to have to go.
Yeah, fine. Our website is withoneaccord.org, just like Acts chapter 2, withoneaccord.org.
Absolutely. Well, Bill, thanks for being on with me. One of these days I get on here, I'll say that you come back on and tell your story, but we might have to make that into a 10-part thing because you did everything or been everything. But, you know, it's a it might have been hard on you in your earlier life, but, you know, it's a blessing to the people because you're able to educate and inform. So,
hallelujah. That's my prayer.
Yeah. All right. Will you be blessed?
Please pray for us.
Okay, I will. Bye-bye. I'll lift you in prayer, that's for sure. All right, awesome. Be blessed, brother. Bye-bye.
Shalom.
Well, folks, with One Accord, it's with oneaccordministries.org. You can find that. When you go to podomatic.com, go over there and check it out, or else just go to our website, prophecyhour.com. In the right-hand column, there's a square picture that says End Time Radio Programs. You click on that. And that'll take you right to this podomatic.org or whatever it is. Anyway, I don't remember it by heart. I always just click the link like most of you folks do. You got, well, I know where the link's at. It's that picture. And you click the picture and go. Well, anyway, this will be at prophecyhour.com so you can find it in that manner. Keep your children away from these things. There's no reason to do it. And you don't really have to get, if you give them an alternate, I don't believe that's the okay, if that's your choice, if that's what you decide. But I just don't, we just ignore it. The best way to do it is just ignore it. It's just like Harry Potter books and movies are not good for children. So guess what? None of my children have ever watched a Harry Potter movie or read a Harry Potter book because I said no. You are the parent. You have a right to say no, and you have to be responsible for your children. The Word says that. The Torah says that. You are to discipline your children. Look out there in the world. You have all these college kids that are destroying property after games and things like that. That's not the innocent fun that they had when they were, when younger generations. Why? Because these generations we're seeing out there are in rebellion. Pray about supporting Wichita Mission Church. We really do need your help. Must remember, though, there is only one God. He is your Father. He's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. His Son is Yeshua HaMashiach, and He gave His life for repented sins. He rose after 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth, and through Him, and only through Him, is the way to the Father. Remember, always, always, always be a blessing to others. How can you be saved and not be a blessing to others? I don't understand. Anyway, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. That's like praying for Messiah's return. Lord our God, Father, King Universe, ask in Yeshua HaMashiach's name that the Father blesses and keeps you, and His face shines upon you, and is gracious to you, and gives you peace like no one or nothing else can. Until next Thursday, this is Pastor Dan saying goodbye and shalom.
You've just heard the Messiah's Branch broadcast featuring Pastor Dan. To contact Dan on the Internet, go to messiahsbranch.org. To write to Dan, send a note to Messiah's Branch, 230 West 4th Street, Florence, Kansas, 66851. Tune in next time for Messiah's Branch.